Well, hello there, St. Andrew's family. Welcome back to another episode of How the Sausage is Made. I'm Pastor Ethan.
And I'm Pastor Matt.
And we are doing what we were born to do.
Yes.
We are talking about sermon writing.
Sermon writing.
Right? That's what we were born to do, right?
We were born to do, absolutely. Some were born to run, we were born to write. That's right.
You were going to recap a little bit of Pastor Matt's sermon last week, where he walked us through some of the text in Exodus and the people grumbling in the desert, and then got to spend a little bit of time in the gospel reading with the Samaritan woman at the well.
Yeah.
And so let's just get into it. Me just kind of looking back at the message you delivered for us this past week, it was kind of cool. I noticed like three progressions throughout
okay.
this sermon.
Okay.
The first one was Moses, he goes into the middle of a group of people who are angry at him.
Yes. Because,
and they're angry at God, they're thirsty, and God sends him right into the middle of them.
Right. Don't go around them. Right. We're going right in the middle. Yep.
Into the middle of them, and I'm going to provide for these people.
Yes.
And then we look at Jesus doing the same thing. He goes right into the middle of, you know, opponent's territory.
Yeah, you go right in like the Samaritan territory,
right.
which was hostile environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he goes right in the middle of it to meet this outcast woman.
Mm-hmm.
And after his interaction with her, she goes right into the middle of another kind of hostile environment, her own people, but people
right.
who have kind of ostracized her.
You got
and so
it, man.
It was kind of
yeah.
a it was kind of a cool progression where we see a almost like a prophetic like typological picture of what Jesus is going to do in Moses.
Right.
And Moses, God working through Moses to provide for his people who are grumbling, and then we see Jesus kind of fulfill that in a way and give us a more full picture of it in the way he provides for this Gentile, or not Gentile woman, but Samaritan woman.
Yeah.
Are they considered Gentiles,
yeah,
Samaritans? They are.
By the Jews, certainly.
Okay, gotcha,
Gentiles.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We're all learning a little bit here. and then the woman kind of, in response to what Jesus has done for her, she does the same thing. It's just a really cool progression.
You know what? I appreciate that. It was interesting because as you're doing the study, especially when you have kind of an assigned reading for the Old Testament and assigned reading for the New Testament, usually there's some method to the madness. There's usually
yeah.
a reason why they're connected, and you kind of have to figure out what that is. At the surface level, why they're connected is because they both deal with water,
mm-hmm.
living water. And gosh, there's a whole lot we could have talked about there. I mean, we left a lot on the cutting room floor this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, right.
But I found the more compelling thing just the location, just like go right into the middle of these environments and show the grace of Christ. You know,
yeah.
like God. I was always struck that God didn't go in the middle of those people that were grumbling to say, stop grumbling, y'all, I can't believe you're doing this,
yeah.
but just like, no, you're grumbling, I'm going to right in the middle of it, and we're going to hit this rock, and living water is going to flow out of this thing, and
right.
and I'm still your God, I still love you, I'm still taking care of you, and I don't know, there's something really powerful about that, like, no, we'll just go walk right through, and It would have been interesting, had God said, "Well, just lead the people a little further. I'm gonna send you somewhere else," and then you, because they were right about to get to a place where they had tons of water,
mm-hmm.
But God didn't do it. He said, "No, I'm gonna show. I'll go right in the middle of it, and I'm gonna show it." And that I think I appreciate that in my own life, in the middle of my own sinfulness, in the middle of my own stupidity, God still shows up and cracks open the rock and
right.
shows his grace.
And yet the use of the word stupidity there is kind of funny, because as you're getting us in the context of the people in the desert, it has to make you laugh a little bit.
Oh,
like,
gosh, yeah, yeah.
These people, they want to go back to slavery, They want to be slaves.
It's the myth of the good old days, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. It's crazy.
But what cracks me up is how fast it happened. Like, they're like 3 days out. Like, man, remember back in Egypt? Remember how cool it was
right,
back there?
Right.
Like, dude, you're what are you talking about? They were beating you.
Which from our perspective, we can say, oh, gosh, like, yeah, how could they think that? But it does say something about, I mean, just how probably brutal some of the conditions were for them, I guess, in those short weeks, couple months or so. But it is just, it's wild to hear a people asking to go back to slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it also shows in our human nature, to what's familiar becomes what's comfortable.
Yeah.
What's familiar can be totally unhealthy. What's familiar can be totally not the right thing. But if it's what you're familiar with, that's you develop a certain comfort level with it. And they had 440 years of developing a comfort level with being, this is who we are. We're slaves.
Yep.
You know, this is what we know. And it's scary. It's scary to, you know, anytime you make any kind of change. You know, a kid going to college, it can be terrifying. All of a sudden you're on a new place and I don't even know where to get my hair cut, and I don't know where to do all these things. And all of a sudden, you know, you realize you're going to grow, and it's good that you're there. But starting out, man, any kind of change can be daunting because naturally it's uncomfortable. So
and that idea of slavery, it's making me think about our Tuesday morning Bible study that has been going for several weeks now. That's been a really great Bible class.
It is so fun to teach. I'm so glad you're teaching right now. I had so much fun while I was in my few weeks doing it. You know?
Yeah, it's amazing. If anybody's listening and you're free on a Tuesday morning at 8:45, meet us in the back of the chapel area. But we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and just this past Tuesday we were talking about how everybody is a slave.
Yeah.
And Paul in Romans talks about that. Like, you're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness.
Right.
Those are your two options.
Yeah.
In the Sermon on the Mount, he kind of says it like, you can't serve God and money.
Right.
But you're going to serve you're either going to serve yourself or you're going to serve God. Everybody is a slave.
Yeah.
And so it's just, interesting that concept. Hearing of people who want to be slaves, and do we desire slavery to sin, and we don't even realize it? Do we desire to be slaves to our own, you know, impulses and our own lusts, and we don't even really realize that we're actually slaves to those things?
There are some sins that are hard to recognize in ourselves. We can recognize them in other people, but we don't necessarily recognize them in ourselves, you know? And it is hard to tell, man. Am I kind of leaning towards idolatry here? Am I trying to put my hope in other things? Mm-hmm. Like, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. And that passage, I think the thing I would have loved to get into more was Christ. They talk about Christ as the rock. Right,
yeah.
He's the rock, and you know that the rock gets struck and then saves the people, and there's such a great imagery there, and so the imagery I didn't dive into that I wanted to, but again, trying to limit the length of a sermon, is Jesus is the rock that he goes into Samaria and basically there to give living water to the Samaritan, and then that rock, right, he'll be struck as he's on the cross, you know, and blood and water come out of his chest when he gets stabbed in the side. And I mean, there's all kinds of things you can get into there. That passage
is cool connection.
Just loaded full of it's that Old Testament passage is like pregnant with the Messiah and the hope and Jesus and all these things, and it's pretty cool.
Something about that I hope people are starting to see. That we haven't been super explicit about it, but it's kind of implied throughout this series so far, is that Jesus is present in the Old Testament. And,
yes.
And that's just, it's something that maybe we take for granted or don't think about or don't explicitly say all the time, but not only is he there in just the promise that there is going to be a Messiah to come, and there's a promise of Jesus, there's pictures of Jesus, like Moses himself is kind of a little image of Jesus who will be fulfilled. But Jesus is there in the Old Testament, and And I hope that that's kind of starting to come through throughout this series a little bit more.
I think it is. It's also, I mean, it is kind of the air we breathe here at St. Andrews. I'm grateful we have a Christological focus on our worship and our preaching, our teaching. It's Christ is at the center. So you can be the far reaches of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about Jesus.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And it actually makes me think of a children's book. There's a book where you actually give families of baby and the people baptize their babies or little kids. We give them the Jesus Storybook Bible, and I'm not even sure who puts it out, but man, it's so cool because we're trying to train the kids even early. When you read the Old Testament, it always ends talking about how it foreshadows Jesus or fills them with Jesus, and it's like I love that so much, and it's like we're gonna try to get you started young here at St. Andrews thinking about Jesus.
That is such a good. That's one of Isla's favorite books. We've read it the whole thing through once, and we're about halfway through now again. We just finished the Old Testament part again. So she loves that book. So.
Oh man, there are elements too. Like the writers of that have some things that they talk about foreshadowing Jesus, like I've been studying deep theology and Greek and Hebrew and the Talmud and everything, and sometimes like, oh man, I never thought about that before.
Oh yeah, it happens to me all the time. Just the other day, I was reading the story of Daniel with Isla in that book, and was like, man, this is really speaking to me right now.
Yeah.
It's a great book.
Got off track, but it's so good. So if you have little kids or you know little kids. You know, if they're getting baptized here, they're going to get a Jesus Storybook Bible. But if you need something to send to someone for a birthday or whatever, that's the one. Send that one.
It's really good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man. So speaking of looking at Jesus. So, but it's been interesting because we saw Jesus in the garden, right? Because he's going to be the one who clothes them with being the innocent creature that slaughtered in order to clothe the sin and the shame.
Right.
Then with Abram, you know. He says, you know, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing, and through your offspring, all the world will be blessed, all the nations will be blessed. So the offspring kind of points us to Jesus. Then Moses, just himself, being the prophet, priest, and king, all in one, that's what Jesus is for us, the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is the rock that gets struck. This week, though, we go out of the genre of what I would call, like, historical narrative,
right?
Adam and Eve, Abram. And now we get into a historical person in a historical time, but it's a different realm of scripture. It's a realm of prophecy.
Right.
And we're going to one of the most prominent prophets, which is Isaiah. And that being said, we're in Isaiah 42. Tell us a little bit about Isaiah, and then tell us a little bit about the passage we're going to be looking at this week.
Yeah. We're gonna hear definitely a little bit about just the person Isaiah and consider his context a little bit, and how incredible his prophecies actually are, and the scope of how much time Isaiah covers. He names people who come, you know, 200 years after him or so, and there's a lot of things about Isaiah that a lot of people like deny that he lived in the time that he says he lived, because of how accurate and detailed and everything he is about things that happened so far after his time. But with all that being said, we're really going to look at how he is speaking to a people who are going to go through some very hard things.
Yes.
God has revealed to Isaiah a very, in some ways, a very difficult message that he has to bring to the people, that they're going to be carried away in exile, that things are not going to look well for them.
Yeah.
And in the midst of it, there's always this promise, not just of a return from exile, but there's this promise that God is going to bring light into the nations, that God is going to guide his people, that God's always going to be with his people. And so the G word for this week is guidance. And I really it just admire the way Isaiah has been given some just unbelievable godly guidance.
Yeah.
But it's not easy to share that guidance with mm-hmm. people, but Isaiah does it. And he shares the message that God gives to him with the people who need to hear it. And I kind of wanted to consider, how does that relate to us? And we have been given, you know, so much from God. We've been given a message from God. God has revealed so much to us through his word
mm-hmm.
And given us so much godly guidance. And kind of like Isaiah, are we now called to share that godly guidance with people who need to hear it, with
right.
people who don't know it, even if it might be, I don't know, uncomfortable or not the easiest message all the time? And so Isaiah kind of becomes an example for us of somebody who receives godly guidance and then shares it.
He shares it, right? Yeah. And a lot of what he shared was unpopular.
Right.
At the time, right. It was,
exactly.
It was not good. To speak to something that you brought up earlier, you know, there are people, because Isaiah is so stunningly accurate in his prophecies, and from that prophecies, like the forward-looking into the future prophecies, people say, well, he must have written this later. He must have already known this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to, I always fire back, well, then look at Isaiah 53. He, in stunning detail, outlines Jesus' death for our sins and the hope of the resurrection, all these things. 760, 750 years before Jesus was born.
Right.
And it's like, see, you're worried about these other things. He's talking about other kings and other things that might come into fruition. But he just talked about Jesus.
Right. And like, yeah, that's such
like
a good
Isaiah
point.
Isaiah 53, like, unbelievably precise. He's going to be pierced for our transgressions. Well,
right.
Like, he wasn't stoned for our transgressions. He was pierced for our transgressions.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, that's just one example. Just go read it. But it's like, so you're worried about this king that comes 200 years after him. Let's talk about Jesus and predicting that the Messiah is going to
it's
suffer
so
and
true.
Die on behalf of
it's
his
so
people
true.
And be pierced and be like a lamb led to the slaughter. I don't know. I could go on and on.
No, but no. And the text that we're reading today is actually, it's right, because there's a series of several songs about this suffering servant.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Jesus, who's going to come to, who's going to be this guide, who's going to be this sacrifice,
right.
who's going
right.
to be the lamb, right? And each song is kind of, it ends with where it steps out of the servant song and it mm-hmm. kind of just has a description of it.
Yeah.
And that's actually more of what we're reading this weekend. Isn't the song itself, but it's more of like a recap, a description, a summary of this song sung about a suffering servant that's
yeah.
going to come. So it's kind of cool.
Powerful,
and
man.
And I think there will be a lot, I mean, just inevitably, left on the cutting room floor, as we say, because there's so much I want to say about Isaiah himself. There's so much I want to say about the people he's talking to, and so much to say about these songs and the suffering servant and stuff. So I'm still fleshing out exactly how all that will fit together, but I really have started to get excited this week because it seems to start fitting with a lot of themes that are just coming up in our conversations between
yeah.
me and you, Pastor Matt, and just other people just around St. Andrews about we're given these truths
yeah.
by God. God has given us these so much of himself just revealed to us through his word. And because of that, we have salvation. We have the knowledge of the love of God in
yeah,
Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We actually get to experience it and participate in it, you know, daily through his goodness and his mercies. And now we're actually called to seriously live that out and
yeah.
love people as a, like, through that and in that and because of that.
Yep.
And that whole concept of just the Christian life being a response to the love and the revelation God has given to us, I think will come through this week's sermon as well. So
good. Good.
Yeah, those themes are just really, like, rich right now.
Yeah. 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 And it has been interesting. I think all of these Old Testament readings naturally have lent themselves to a bit of a challenge. I was thinking with Abram, he went, so you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with this woman at the well, she went into the midst of people. There's kind of a rub. And what does that mean for us in our relationships? And then, you know, with this, you know, how do we live now? You know, I think it's good. It's a little challenging,
mm-hmm,
as Lutherans who are focused on saved by God's grace alone through faith.
Right.
But there's also that you're created in advance. You've created your good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. There's both of those things going,
right,
on at the same time. And I'm excited to hear you preach. And I'm excited as someone who's, you know, there's all kinds of people have their own preferences for preaching and things they like to study. I love that. I love that you love the Old Testament as much as you do, because I sure find myself really intrigued by the Old Testament.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
amen.
And the idea to do a sermon series on it is kind of fun. Like I think I would have spent 100% of the time last week on the woman at the well. I don't know if I've really preached about Moses in the desert and the people grumbling. Maybe I have. I can't remember if I have or not. But
mm-hmm,
I know I preached on the woman at the well, and I love that account. So it's kind of nice to be forced to say, start here. Don't start there. Start
right
here.
Right.
And that's is really good for me, and I think it was hopefully good for everybody else. And, you know, for you to start with that, go to Isaiah 42, probably not a passage. If you had to pick out of all the things I preached on from Isaiah, you probably wouldn't pick Isaiah 42.
No.
But
no.
Here you are, and it's God's inspired word, and it's going to be a great blessing.
Yeah, and praise God for this opportunity, because there really are some, I mean, I'm praying that God, you know, does some beautiful things through it and with his word this week. And it's just, there's a lot of hope to be found. There's a lot of kind of self-reflecting to be done,
mm-hmm,
but also just a really clear call to connection to the promise and the love and the forgiveness and the hope we have in Jesus. So, with all of that, you know, it's a good recipe for, you know, God to proclaim his word this week.
That's
so
cool. Well, let me pray, yeah, for you as you're getting prepared to do that.
Yeah, please do.
Lord God, I thank you for Pastor Ethan. I thank you for Isaiah. I thank you for a book of the Bible that is just dripping with the hope of the Messiah that, mm-hmm, you can't hardly pick up the book of Isaiah without just kind of getting that hope all over your hands and your face and your feet and, mm-hmm, your body. It's just like the water coming out of the rock, Lord. Thank you for that hope.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this passage, Isaiah 42, and how you guide us and direct us. And so, Lord, as we take those words, we apply those to Pastor Ethan, guide him, direct him in his study and preparation for the sermon, that you may use him to guide and direct us to know you better, to follow you, to understand the gifts you've given us, and to respond to those gifts in kind. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Take care, St. Andrews.